This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. First of all, my dear sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear sisters, I don't think there's ever been a time in history when there's so much pressure on people to feel like they need to be something in order to be worthy. You know, everything around us, especially social media, is telling you that, you know, your personal worth is based upon, you know, what you have seemingly achieved in this dunya. And, you know, the more we compare ourselves and make what others have achieved our standard, the more we tend to look down on our own significance and feel like, you know, what we're doing is never enough. And subhanAllah, dear sisters, often the pressure we face today, you know, to be what we perceive to be as successful can actually, you know, leave us feeling quite exhausted and hopeless, as if we can never, you know, truly achieve anything which is worthy. So that's why we need to realize that, you know, the only way to free ourselves from this prison of this feeling of not being enough is to make your number one goal the akhirah. Because it's only when you seek your ultimate worth through the, you know, the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal that you can find true peace of heart and mind in this dunya. Because then your standard in finding your worth is no longer based upon, you know, comparing to what others have done and achieved, but rather it's upon the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, and seeking the paths to his pleasure. And if we look at how the companions, you know, used to be, we see that their main concern, you know, wasn't about whether others were outdoing them in terms of money or status or popularity, you know, but rather they used to be concerned about how others were outdoing them in striving for Jannah. And that's why some of them, you know, would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam due to them being worried, you know, that because they weren't well off and didn't have the financial means to be able to, you know, give very much in sadaqah, that they could never be as successful as those believers who were rich and could, you know, achieve so many more rewards than them through their striving in their wealth. There's a particular hadith that's recorded by Imam Muslim, narrated by Abu Dharr, in which he mentions how, you know, some of the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ, that Ya Rasulullah, you know, those who are wealthy and rich have made off with all of the rewards. You know, they pray as we pray, they fast as we fast, but they also are able to give charity due to them being wealthy. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مَا تَصَدَّقُونَ, hasn't Allah Ta'ala also given you that which, you know, you can give sadaqah from? Like, just because you don't have the financial means, but there's other ways that you can be giving sadaqah and you know, doing great deeds. So he told them that, for example, you know, every tasbihah that you say, every time you say subhanallah, that's a sadaqah for you. Every time you make a takbirah, Allahu Akbar, that's a sadaqah for you. Or a tahmida, alhamdulillah, that's a sadaqah for you. Or a tahleela, like la ilaha illallah, that's counted as a sadaqah for you. Even commanding the good and, you know, forbidding the evil, that's all sadaqah for you. Even if one, you know, goes to their spouse in halal, that's a sadaqah for you, subhanAllah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us, my dear sisters, that, you know, even if those who are, you know, more successful in striving, in the part, you know, if they're more successful than you in financial sadaqah, don't let that make you think that Allah hasn't given you other countless ways to reap the hasanat and seek the akhirah through those ways, right? So you have to realize that, you know, the doors and ways to achieve success in akhirah, there are so many. And, you know, it's actually from the infinite mercy of Allah Ta'ala that he has given us, you know, literally countless ways, actually, for us to achieve success in akhirah. So it's really just a matter of us focusing on what we find, you know, easier for ourselves to do, while also taking into consideration our individual circumstances And then, you know, continuing to persevere on that path. So just like you see how Allah Ta'ala has had made practically, you know, unlimited ways for us to seek rizq in this world, right? Similarly, you'll find that he's made you know, unlimited, you know, ways or paths for us to be successful in striving for Jannah. So that's why in reality, no one can make the excuse that you're not able to find, you know, anything that you can do to achieve that success, because there's just so many different paths and deeds that, you know, Allah's given us to choose from. Now, we have to also acknowledge that, you know, we all have different strengths and weaknesses, and we all have different unique life circumstances. And so that's why you should focus on choosing the paths that you find easiest for yourself to do, that suit your own individual strengths and circumstances. And always remind yourself that, you know, if you find the path to success in this dunya is restricted for yourself, like you feel like you're just not achieving much in this dunya, then know that the paths to success for akhirah are literally countless. Now, in another narration in Muslim, recorded by Imam Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ showed us how these paths to success with Allah are so many and so varied. So basically in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he tells us that, you know, al-tuhuru shatrul iman, that, you know, purity is half of faith, and then alhamdulillah fills the scale, and, you know, subhanallah and alhamdulillah, these, you know, fill what's between the heavens and the earth. And that, you know, as-salatu nur, you know, like that prayer is a light, and as-sadaqa burhan, and that, you know, charity is a proof, and patience is a liya, it's, you know, an illumination, and al-Quran hujjatul lak aw alayk, and that the Quran is either an evidence for you or against you, and that every single day, each person goes out in the morning, they either sell themselves and buy the akhirah, or, you know, buy the pleasure of Allah and set themselves free through their actions, or they ruin themselves. So if we go through and just quickly look at, like, this hadith, what's mentioned, you'll see that there are various paths to khair. The Prophet ﷺ showed us that there are, you know, numerous paths to goodness. And that, in fact, these paths or these ways that he mentions in this hadith are actually very simple things. So what we learn from this hadith, that it's just by sticking to the simple deeds with ikhlas, you know, with that sincere intention, that will give a person success in akhirah. You know, some people might find it easier to fill their day with a lot of dhikr, you know. Therefore, that person should keep themselves busy with that, right? Other people, they find that they love salah. Allah opened their heart to love salah, so they keep themselves busy with doing extra salah. Other people, it's sadaqah. They love to strive in making money and giving sadaqah, right? Other people, it could be with the Quran, or it could be fasting. So basically what we learn from these ahadith is that, you know, when Allah opens these doors of, you know, good deeds to you, then, you know, pursue that. And it's like also, you know, like Allah Ta'ala, for some people, he opens a door of seeking knowledge, right? Or some people have, mashallah, they have very good character. So use that character to buy the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. You know what I mean? It could be your piety towards your parents, or, you know, your tarbiyah, you know, your raising of your children for the sake of Allah. So they're just basically, what I'm trying to point out to you is that there are countless ways of, you know, achieving success in the next life. And you just have to go with, go with those strengths that you personally have. Right? You find some things naturally easier for you. They are the things that you need to focus on, inshallah, if you want success in akhirah. And that's what we see in the end of this particular hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says that all people go out early each day and sell themselves, either setting themselves free or ruining themselves. So either a person frees himself for the fire by striving in these deeds, or he ruins his akhirah by abandoning them, right? So that's why a person, what we're learning from this hadith is a person needs to focus each day they wake up on buying the pleasure of Allah. Like, how am I going to spend my day to seek nearness to Allah in this day, and to seek the success of the akhirah in this day, and to help save myself from the fire of the next life, right? That's what our aim should be, inshallah, every single day. Now, just have a quick look at this hadith. The deeds that are mentioned, the Messenger of Allah said, "At-tahuru shatrul iman," right? That purification is half of al-iman. So one thing we can learn is that al-Islam is a religion of at-tahara. It's a religion of purification, and it's a religion of purifying oneself both externally and internally. Okay, so externally, we know how much we're encouraged and commanded to, you know, remove all types of impurities from ourselves, anything filthy or unclean, to remove that from one's body or clothes, and also lifting the state of hadath, which requires either wudu or ghusl, right? So just just this act of purifying oneself sincerely for the sake of Allah, you know, and striving to achieve that purification for Allah's sake, this has great virtues with Allah, right? To the level that Allah made it half of al-iman, half of faith. So this shows you the importance of taking care of physical purification. Don't underestimate the virtue of doing that. You know, Allah tells us in the Quran, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin," that Allah loves those who turn repentance to Him, and that He loves those who purify themselves. So this is why, from the many aims we should have, is to be keen in taking care of achieving a tahara for Allah, because of how much Allah loves us to purify Him, ourselves for Him. And we see the high level that Bilal radiallahu anhu achieved with Allah in the next life. Just through this action, you know, how each time he would renew his tahara through either wudu or ghusl, he would go pray rakatain. And the Messenger of Allah heard his footsteps ahead of him in Jannah, subhanAllah, due to this deed. Also, the Messenger of Allah said that no Muslim took wudu and perfected it and then stood and prayed two units of prayer, in which he turned to Allah with his heart, except Jannah will be binding for him. So this is what shows you the importance of achieving external purity. And then from at-tahara also, from purification also, is the internal purification, or what we can call the spiritual, you know, purification, which is the tahara of the heart. And as most of you would be aware, that's to, you know, basically purify your heart from the diseases that can come in the heart, you know, and the darkness that can come in the heart, and the heaviness of sins, you know, bad feelings towards others, or feeling proud of oneself, those type of diseases that can come in the heart and corrupt it. And you may have heard of that, you know, companion who he entered in the masjid and the Prophet Sazan was with some of the Sahaba and mentioned that, you know, a man will enter upon you right now who is from the people of, from Ahlul Jannah, he's from the people of Jannah. And they saw an ordinary man walk in, didn't seem to have anything special about him. And then one of the other companions went and, you know, stayed over his house, and then couldn't work out what was so special about him. And eventually all that companion mentioned to him was that, you know, when I go to bed at night, I take out any bad feelings that I have towards others before I sleep. And then he realized that was the deed that was making him, you know, successful in Jannah, right? So what I'm trying to show you is that the deen, our deen of Islam, it focuses on purifying, you know, ourselves externally, but also focusing to purify oneself internally, and, you know, and try to lift these diseases that, you know, corrupt the heart and blacken it and distance us ourselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately, right? These bad feelings we have, diseases, jealousy, all of that, it does weigh us down and hold us back from getting close to Allah. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin," because if you look at that ayah, Allah's saying He loves at-tawwabin, He loves those who make tawbah, because what does tawbah do? What does repentance do? It washes the filth and impurities that come into the heart. While the physical tahara, wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin, right? The physical tahara is what washes the external impurities. Now, going to the next deed that's mentioned in this particular hadith, the Messenger of Allah tells us about the virtue of dhikr and saying that subhanallah walhamdulillah, what fills between, you know, the heavens and the earth. And so this is showing us the greatness of the virtue of dhikr. And, you know, you might think to yourself, you know, how can something so easy have such a huge reward? And the reason is because it connects you to Allah. That's what dhikr does. That's what has such a huge reward, right? Because it's directly connecting you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, who is the one that you are mentioning? You're mentioning Allah, Rabbul Alameen. You're mentioning the Lord of the worlds, right? And as most of you would know, if you keep on mentioning a particular individual over and over again, you know, saying, you know, all good things about her, for example, you know, she's always kind, she's always friendly. How much would your heart feel inclined, you know, towards that particular person due to you mentioning them? And so we have to realize that for Allah Ta'ala is the highest example of that, that, you know, the more you mention Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you find that your love for Allah grows in your heart. And also, you know, the more that obviously Allah Ta'ala is going to love you due to that righteous action of remembering him as well. So that's why that small action of dhikr, even though it's so easy and simple, but it has such a huge effect on a person. And wallahi, it's from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave us this very easy deed to do, right? That anyone can do it despite whatever condition you're upon, whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, whether you're very busy driving in the car, if you're fluent in Arabic or you don't know Arabic, right? No matter, you know, what you're doing or who you are, you can make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it was to the level where you can't even move your tongue. You can still remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. So sisters, this is why whoever wants to, you know, find a path of khair and success in, you know, in this life, in the next, then they should make a great deal of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the next door to khair that the Messenger of Allah mentions in this particular hadith is that he mentions that as-salatu nur, that prayer is nur, prayer is light. So we need to realize that, you know, from the primary objectives for why as-salah, why prayer was legislated, was as a means to remember Allah Ta'ala. And that's why from the virtues of as-salah is that it brings nur into your heart and nur into your face. It brings light into your heart and light into your face. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Taha, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. You know, establish the prayer for my remembrance. Because if you look at as-salah, it's all dhikr. It's all the remembrance of Allah, because dhikr is to be done with the tongue and dhikr is also to be done with the heart, right? Mentioning Allah is done with the tongue, but it's also, you know, your remembrance is also with the heart and it's also shown by one's limbs, right? So that's why the whole of as-salah is the dhikr. And that's why the whole of as-salah places nur into your heart, because it fills your heart with the light of Iman, just as it places light into your face, subhanAllah. And that's why you always see the person who prays sincerely to Allah, you'll find they have nur in their face, they have light in their face. May Allah illuminate our faces through our salah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And that's why when you look at their face, you feel love for them, subhanAllah. Now, the salah we're talking about here, of course, as well, is that, you know, it's when a person, you know, truly, sincerely prays in the way they're supposed to, right? Because this is the salah that brings light to a person in both this life and the next. Now, the next deed that the Prophet ﷺ mentions in this hadith is وَصَدَقَةُ burhan, that charity is an evidence. Now, why is charity an evidence? Because having money is something which is loved by a person's nafs, like by a person's debased self. And that's why, you know, many people find it difficult to make that sacrifice of giving away their wealth, because it goes against the pull, you know, of your nafs. And that's why sadaqah is an evidence of the sincere iman, or the sincere faith you have in your heart, because a person, you know, you need to really strive against your debased self in order to give that sadaqah. Now, we have to realize that it's through sadaqah that a person saves himself, even if it was half of a date, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us. He tells us in one particular hadith, you know, ittaqullah or ittaqunnar walau bi shiqqi tamra, right? Fear the fire, even if it was with half of a date. Now, these days, half a date, it has literally no value. But what this hadith means is to give even if all you have is little, you know, and don't look down on that. So imagine what, you know, if that's the, that if that's the virtue of giving the like of half a date in sadaqah and sidi for Allah's sake, then imagine for that person who gives more than that. So all of that is like a barrier for a person from the fire on the day of resurrection. And subhanAllah, sisters, because Allah is akramul, because he is the most generous, because he is, you know, al-kareem, and he is akramul akramin, right? He's the most generous of the generous. He causes whatever you give to be multiplied over and over for you. And that's why Allah Ta'ala gives us the example of sadaqah in the Quran, of it being like if you were to give a grain. That when you give that grain, in every grain, it's like there's 7 spikes. And in each of those spikes, there's 100 grains. And so this is the like of how Allah Ta'ala multiplies the reward for what you give in charity over and over. Wallahu yudha'ifu lima yasha', right? That Allah Ta'ala multiplies that the reward for that, you know, to whom he wills. So this is why when you give a dollar, right, you give a dollar with ikhlas, with sincerity, and without you, you know, seeking praise for that or showing off with that, you know, or reminding the person who you gave it to, then only Allah knows how much it will be saved for you on the day of resurrection. And this is why sadaqah is an evidence of a person's iman, right? The next door to khair, or the next door to success that is mentioned by the Prophet in this particular hadith, is as-sabr, okay, patience. As-sabru diya'. So patience is something that illuminates a person. You know, now sabr, we have to realize, is in 3 different ways, right? So as-sabr, you have, in order for you to be considered as a patient person, you need to make yourself patient upon the commands of Allah. You need to make yourself patient from staying away from what Allah has forbidden. And you also need to make yourself patient with whatever Allah Ta'ala predestines from misfortunes or hardships, right? And we seek Allah's pleasure through that patience. And this patience, observing this patience, has such a great virtue that Allah Ta'ala mentions about patience more than 90 times in the Quran. And he tells us that innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab, that Allah rewards those who are patient without measure. So it's not something that Allah put a limit on, you know, how much he rewards for those who are patient for his sake. And some of you may remember the story about that sahabiyah, like, who, subhanAllah, she was afflicted with that, you know, ailment of epilepsy. And the Messenger of Allah gave her the choice whether, you know, for him to make dua for her to be healed, or whether to be patient and he would guarantee her Jannah. And she asked the Messenger of Allah just to make dua that she would, you know, achieve al Jannah through that ailment. SubhanAllah. So this shows you that when you're patient with what Allah afflicts you with, you know, if you've got some sort of sickness that you're struggling with, or you've got some trial with your child, or, you know, something in your life, you know, subhanAllah, when you're patient for the sake of Allah, seeking his pleasure through that, you know, misfortune, this is what can give you the greatest success in the akhirah. This could be your door to success, right? Okay, so the last door of khair, you know, mentioned in this particular hadith, is the door of the Quran, which is either hujjatul lak aw alayk. So when you memorize the Quran, you recite it, you act upon it, you know, ponder over its meanings, then all of that is what's included under being an evidence for you. So the Quran will be a witness for you on the day of resurrection, and that's what's going to guide you into Jannah, right? But if a person turns away from the Quran, if they turn away from the words of Allah, then the Quran will not be a witness for them. And even, may Allah protect us, it could even be the cause for a person to enter the fire on the day of resurrection, right? So this is why we need to always make the Quran an integral part of our lives. So my dearest sisters, these are just some of the examples of the countless doors to goodness and success that Allah Ta'ala has given us, that we need to focus on doing in this world while we still have the chance. And even if you couldn't do many extra good deeds, right, at least focus on perfecting what Allah has made compulsory upon you, right? And we see a man came to ask the Prophet, about this. You know, in a hadith in Muslim, a man came to the Messenger of Allah and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, if I can only pray my 5 fard prayers and I can only fast the month of Ramadan and I stick to what is lawful, I stick to the halal and I stay away from the haram without adding anything to that, would I enter Jannah? And the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, told him that you would. He said, yes, you would enter Jannah by that. As long as you're sincere in that, but you have to stick to those, you know, five prayers and those things which Allah has made compulsory upon you. So just even doing that for the sake of Allah and seeking Jannah through that, realize that is your door to success in Akhirah as well. So my dearest sisters, in conclusion, you know, the three main points I just want to leave with you today is, number one, we all have individual strengths and weaknesses, and we all have deeds which we find easy to do and that we enjoy, while other types of deeds may not be as easy for us. So find your unique path to success in Akhirah through focusing upon those deeds that you find easy for you. And never underestimate any good that you can do, because it might be your good character, or it might be your patience with your illness, or your caring for your elderly parent or your special needs child that is the greatest cause for your success in Akhirah. Like, everyone has their own unique path, but you need to have the intention to seek the pleasure of Allah through that path, right? Then secondly, realize that Allah has given us countless ways for us to achieve Jannah. So in reality, if we aren't focusing on seeking our own unique way to attain Jannah, then we are the only ones who are letting ourselves down. And then lastly, the Prophet ﷺ taught us to always aim high, even if we don't believe we are deserving of that. And that's why he taught us that when you ask for Jannah, ask for Al-Firdaus, because it's the highest level of Jannah. Because when you do that, asking Allah for Al-Firdaus, even though you don't feel you're deserving of it, but you truly believe in your heart in the rahmah and, you know, the generosity of Allah, the mercy and generosity of Allah, then inshallah, wallahi, inshallah, Allah will guide you to those paths that will enable you to attain that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So I ask Allah ta'ala, my dearest sisters, that he makes us from those who find our own unique and individual paths to success in Akhirah. May he raise us to be from amongst those who achieve firdaus al-a'la through whatever individual circumstances we have, and that we live our lives seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولي ولكم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم my dear sisters ورحمة الله وبركاته.